Hello, Blazers. Welcome to episode 122 of UAB Green and Told, original release Monday, April 22nd, 2024. This podcast gives us a chance to share stories from members of the UAB community. Looking for past episodes? Find us at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold on Spotify or the Apple Podcasts app. And while you're there, leave a written review so more alums can listen in. I'm Greg Berry, a UAB alum and Director of Communications in the Office of Alumni Affairs. Life may be a funny thing. Let's face it, you never know what may lead you down a certain path. For today's podcast guest, Jada King, earning her degree was a full circle moment, one that started as a young child helping as a caregiver to her older sister.
We had the saying in our household, different, not less. So, like, while she may be different, she shouldn't be treated less. She shouldn't be looked at as different.
And as she'll share, while she didn't necessarily know then, that experience has been beneficial as she started to grow into her young nursing career.
She did help me in areas that I feel like it helped me. She also helped me with my composure and just being able to deal with certain situations.
Plus, a first-generation college student, Jada will share why her degree meant more.
I know that degree wasn't just for me. It was for my mom and it was for my sister. So it made me really happy to know that I can accomplish something and be able to be a first generation student.
There are times that people are placed in positions throughout their lifetime, but we don't know why at the time. Unlike other kids in her Hoover, Alabama neighborhood, Jada King had to grow up fast. Oftentimes, when her friends were out playing, Jada was at home playing the role of caregiver to her sister.
When a lot of my friends went home, all they had to worry about was playing, you know, or just being a kid. But when I went home, I had to worry about, oh, my sister, she has seizures, so I may wake up in the middle of the night to make sure she doesn't fall out of bed or she's not seizing too long. Or my sister needs her diaper change, or I have to feed somebody else before I feed myself. Like simple little things that other people don't have to worry about. Or for example, even in high school, a lot of my friends didn't have to worry about, like, I would have to worry about, oh, I can't go here because my sister can't go. Or a lot of my friends got to be like a real child. But me, I had to think about like being a caregiver on top of being a child, you know?
Yeah. What was the age difference between you and your sister?
She was 4 years older than me.
She's 4 years older than you. Mm-hmm. Being the younger sister, that had to have been hard watching her grow up and being one of them that had to help her.
Yeah, it really was.
How did you kind of grow into that and kind of embrace the fact that you did have to pitch in?
I really can thank my mom for that because my mom was very big on like, okay, this is what the role that God has put us in, or this is just the life that we have been giving. So you got to be grateful for it. I understand this is not what you asked for, but like, this is what we have. And this is your sister. Like, a lot of people take for granted you only get one sister. You only get like one sibling to love them. So I eventually realized that like we had the saying in our household, different, not less. So like while she may be different, she shouldn't be treated less. She shouldn't be looked at as different. And that's really what we live by. My sister did everything. Whatever she wanted to do, she could do. If she wanted to go to Disney, we were going to Disney. If we were going to go skating, we're going to figure out a way for her to go skating, you know? So we really tried to make it one of those things. And eventually, as I got older, it was more so like, if Deja couldn't do it, then I couldn't do it type thing. Not really because my mom didn't do it, but honestly, it was just allow us to both be able to have that sibling bond and not be limited on what she can do or what society says she cannot do. Because I honestly feel like with special needs kids, they're only as limited as you allow them to be. Like, if you allow them to go out, do everything they can, then they will can be. But if you put that limit on them, then of course they're going to be limited.
What was she diagnosed with? What did Deja have?
So Deja was actually born normal. And then at the age of 6 months, she contracted pneumococcal meningitis. And overall, it just kind of left her with multiple disabilities, like seizures, not cerebral palsy, but it's kind of like cerebral palsy, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, she just had so many seizures that it just caused her brain to deteriorate over the years. And that's unfortunately how she ended up dying.
And she passed away right around the time you were transitioning to go to college.
Yes, sir. So I graduated high school, and then she got placed on hospice like a month after I graduated. Not even a month. It was not a month. It was like a week after I graduated high school. And then she started to deteriorate, and then she ultimately passed 6 days before her 22nd birthday. And then I started college a month later.
That couldn't have been easy, as close-knit that you were with her.
It felt like I lost a child because, unfortunately, when you are placed in those roles to grow up early, you end up being a second caregiver. You end up being a second mom, a second dad. So for me, that felt like that was my child. Like, everybody knows Deja was my baby. Like, while that may have been my mom and dad's child, everybody knew that was like my baby. When you saw Deja, you saw Jada type thing. Like, Deja would prefer to go with me because it's just like she loved her sister. And you could tell that even though I was the younger sister, that she looked up to me. So it was very hard to know, like, when you're already going, college is a big change. So when you're already going from high school to college, that's already a change in itself, like a different world. And at the time I was going to Bama. I had started school at Bama. So that's already a change from home. And then just a change of not having your sibling is gone. So that's just a lot, not having a sibling. So it was very hard to lose her a month before college.
Was it your experience as a caregiver with her that led you into nursing ultimately?
It ultimately was. I did question it for a little while, but honestly, I just felt like if I could do anything in the world, it would be a caregiver, to be able to take care of somebody else like I took care of my sister.
Originally, you mentioned you went to Bama. You chose Tuscaloosa. Why there instead of staying closer to home?
I almost went to Auburn, actually. I had paid my housing fees. I had picked my dorm room and everything. And it's not until later that me and my mom talked about it. My mom kept saying, "Are you sure you don't want to go Bama? You don't want to tour Bama?" But my entire family has went to Bama. Some family member has either started there and graduated or went somewhere else and transferred. Like, so Bama had already felt like home to me. So I was like, no, I don't want to go to Bama. But then my mom was like, "Are you sure you don't want to tour?" My mom had applied for me. She had did all the scholarships, not knowing that my mom had already knew like months ahead that my sister was going to pass away. She had found out a little earlier, but just like waited to tell me just because she knew this was not something that we could control. And she didn't want to ruin my last moments of high school with something that I could not control. So she was slowly trying to get me to stay closer to home because she didn't know when it was going to happen. No one expected that summer. My mom was like, doctors had told her another year. So that summer was kind of like a surprise for everybody. So she was like, "I just wanted you to be a little closer to home." And I was like, "Well, UAB is too close to home." So that's how I ended up at Bama.
But UAB wasn't too close because you didn't finish in Tuscaloosa. You came back home and you enrolled in the School of Nursing here. What changed? What brought you back?
I went through a lot at Bama. It wasn't really as far as the school, but like emotionally, I went through like a deep depression. It was just like I needed to be home. I found myself coming home every weekend because I missed my mom. And I ultimately got into everywhere that I applied to. But my mom was just like, we were just talking. She was like, "You come home every weekend." And she was like, "Everybody dreams to go to UAB. Like, everybody, UAB is one of the best nursing schools in the world. Everybody comes all over the country and you're right here at home. So why not go to UAB?" And when she said that, at first I was so sad. I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to UAB. But now that's the best thing that could have happened to me. I'm grateful that I transferred to UAB.
What's the biggest difference between Tuscaloosa and Birmingham in terms of the schools?
I would say the diversity, if that makes sense. Yeah. UAB, when they say like, diversity and inclusion, they really mean diversity and inclusion. And don't get me wrong, Bama was diverse, but I just felt like UAB was more diverse. Like when I went on to campus, I could genuinely see the diversity and inclusion when I went on to campus. I could see that Alabama was so big, it kind of felt like you were still separated, even though like you're on campus. Like UAB, I felt like it was a family. Like even though it was like different ages, different grade levels, like it was still a family. Everybody knew everybody. There was still some type of connection. I felt like it was easier to like join organizations there rather than it was at Bama. The only thing was like the parking. I did not like fighting for parking. I felt like at Bama, I knew I had like a set parking spot. But even at UAB, if you buy like a parking zone, you still don't know if you have like a set parking spot. So that was a difference for me.
You know, as a transfer student, what was the transition like?
So smooth. Okay. Like UAB did not make it difficult for me at all. Granted, I did come and I started nursing school like immediately. So that did make it a little hard for me because I didn't have time to like per se get adjusted or really find my way around campus. Like I more so learned it as I was going through nursing school. Like people would be like, you know where WOW is? And I'm like, huh? No. And they would like take me. It wasn't like I really knew my way around campus until like I was pretty much graduating. But it was a smooth transition. I didn't have a struggle that most people do with like transferring credits or like feeling like I didn't belong. Like I felt like it was a good transition.
And you got involved and you started with the student nurse internship program at Children's Hospital. What went into that and what is that program all about?
It's a program that you can apply for at the end of your second semester. And what it is a internship between Children and UAB. And what it does, it allows you to be able to work there. You learn like G-tubes, you learn Foley care, you learn IVs, you learn, or even just like what different disease processes that you may see in a hospital with patients that you really don't get to see like in a clinical aspect. And through that, I did it from August 2022. Until August 2023. So I did it a year. And with that program, it just allows you to grow, but it also allows you to go to different units to see where you think you may like to work when you graduate. And then it also allows you to get first dibs on preceptorship to wherever unit that you would like to preceptorship your fifth semester. And so I chose PICU because I ultimately wanted to work at PICU, and I am now. So it was a good opportunity to be able to actually be able to be there this summer on my unit and potentially see if that is truly the place where I would like to want to work.
You say PICU, and just for the people listening, that's Pediatric Intensive Care Unit. What was it about the PICU that kind of drew you towards that direction?
I always knew that I wanted to work with kids, if that makes sense. Like when I was at my adult clinicals, it wasn't that I was miserable because I was like, if I had to work here, then I would. But I just found more joy being able to work with kids, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then the ICU, while it is a very tough place to work, you do see a lot. It gave me a wide range of things to see, to learn, to grow. And I like that I was able to be able to connect with families, just because while nursing is not just task oriented, it's also you're taking care of someone's family, like you're being able to be personable with them and really like learn and care for them. And I like that. At Children's, you're not just taking care of the patient, you're taking care of their family too. And that was something I enjoyed about it.
Watching Deja grow up, did you pick up on things that you can apply as a nurse to make you successful?
Yes. Honestly, I tell my friends and family all the time, a lot of the stuff I do at the hospital or that I found out in nursing school, I didn't know it had a name to it until like I actually learned that it was stuff like medical you should do. It was just something that I kind of just have been doing my whole life. Like a lot of the nurses tell me when I've been orienting, they're like, you're very good at pants changing. And I'm like, well, I had 18 years of help with it. So it's just like, she did help me in areas that I feel like it helped me. She also helped me with my composure and just being able to deal with certain situations. I feel like because sometimes no matter how much you say you're ready for like something you see in a hospital, you don't truly know until you like come across it. So I feel like she really like helped me prepare with some of the things I may see in the hospital.
If I'm not mistaken, you're a first generation college student, which kudos, standing ovation for that. That's fantastic. When did you want to do that? You know, what set the foundation for you to want to go to college?
In my household, it really wasn't much of a choice. It was kind of like, you're going to college. For my mom, it was always her dream to go to college. She always wanted to go to college, but unfortunately, her life had different plans. She had my sister when she was 18, and she always knew that she was still going to try to go to college. But then my sister got sick. And so that role of being a special needs mom, just like, it made her life different. It changed how all the plans she had for her life were different. So when I grew up, my mom was always just like, you're going to go to college, you're going to be the best, just because I want you. She always says, I always want my kids to be better than me. I always want my kids to do better what I couldn't do. So my mom was always just like, you're going to college. She was like, even if you go and you graduate, you don't even work in the major that you did in college, I still want you to go to college, because that's just something that a lot of people can't say they did. A lot of people do not get to experience, and it matters in the long run. So my mom was like, you're going to college. It was a big deal in my household.
What were the emotions like walking across the stage, shaking hands with Dr. Watts and receiving the diploma on graduation day?
It did not hit. It did not hit on graduation day. It's just now hitting, if that makes sense. Like now being, I think it's almost 6 months post-grad life, I can truly say I'm happy and that I did it. I feel like that, not even, I feel like I know that degree wasn't just for me. It was for my mom and it was for my sister. So it made me really happy to know that I can accomplish something and be able to be a first generation student, because that's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure because a lot of people, they get to just go to college for themselves. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to college. But when you're a first generation student, you're also going to college for other people. You're living for your family. You're breaking generational curses for your family, and you're starting something new that potentially my kids can look up and see like, oh, I want to go to college because my mom went to college, or I even want to go further and get my master's, you know? So it was really good. It was exciting for me.
That's Jada King, a 2023 graduate of the School of Nursing. As a lifelong caregiver, this recent alumna has a great idea of what it means to be a Blazer.
I feel like to be a Blazer, you're a part of a family. I truly do. I feel like once you become a Blazer, you're a family. I feel like it's the way you carry yourself when you say you're a Blazer. I feel like people know that, like, oh, you're smart, that you've come to one of the best. You actually put in the work. It's a big deal to say you went to UAB, and I feel like I took that for granted in the beginning, but I feel like I always have a connection. I always have a place that I can learn, that I can grow. So to be a Blazer is an honor. It's a big deal.
Be sure to check out past episodes of the UAB Green and Told podcast. Listen in at alumni.uab.edu/greenandtold. Have a story to share or know someone who does? Email greenandtold@uab.edu. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media. Just search UAB Alumni on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks for listening, and until next time, go Blazers!